ABC1A, 22 minutes to 10. Time now to gaze into the future with business futurist Maurice Maslowski from businessfuturist.com. Today, taking a look at robots. Maurice, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Maurice, robots. Are they taking over?
Oh, they're not taking over, but they're certainly coming around really fast.
Whenever I think of a robot, I always think of that one. Do you remember the one in Lost in Space?
Yes.
That was my favourite robot. We haven't gone quite that far yet, have we?
We haven't either. I actually found him to be quite scary. And that's really our view of robots, you know, him and CP3O and a couple of others, and we're not down that road by any means, and I think we're a long way away from them, but we're certainly seeing other elements of robots coming around.
Alright, so where are we seeing them for the most part?
They're really cropping up in all kinds of interesting places. We have them, for instance, in aged care, and they're making a really big inroad there, mostly through Japan. Japan has an elderly population, not enough people to care for them, and they're really looking at how robots might be able to provide some of that base care. So we have a robot, for instance, that's really no more than a large machine, and it washes patients' hair, and does it in a really fantastic way.
What do the patients think of that?
And the patients are actually on board with it. It's one of those issues of, it sounds quite trivial in what it does, but it's one of those life-affirming necessities of having your hair washed and all the hygiene that goes with it, and the inability to have enough people to do it, because obviously you need a one-to-one. You need one carer to wash one person's hair, and that takes a lot of time and effort.
Does it talk to the patient and provide a bit of gossip as well at the same time?
This one doesn't, but other ones do. There's an Alzheimer's robot, which isn't a robot that has Alzheimer's, but it's a robot that monitors it, and it sits in front of Alzheimer's patients. It's a little thing, a couple of feet high, and it plays games and talks and does all kinds of things with that patient, but what it's doing is monitoring the well-being of the patient. So it's looking at the eyes, the gait, whether the person's paying attention or not, and if it's required, in other words, if the robot deems that the patient's not well, it'll then escalate health for it, so it'll go and call a doctor or somebody else to come in.
How interesting. So it's providing a bit of fun for the patient, but also providing a bit of feedback and care.
Yeah, the 24/7 monitoring. We're also, while we're still in aged care, we have things like a Skeletor that's come on the market in the last couple of months. Sounds a bit like science fiction, in a way it is, but it's almost like a bodysuit that you put on. So for those people that have limited mobility or whose muscles are weak or can't walk around, there is this Skeletor suit that you can buy that literally just fits over the body. It strengthens the arms and the legs and makes it possible for you to walk.
So is that also just overseas right now? Are we starting to see those here in Australia?
They're just coming out of prototype, just coming in, and again in Japan. So we expect them to walk around the streets in the next couple of years.
Okay, well, that's aged care. What about otherwise in medicine and healthcare?
Medicine and healthcare also are pushing into this realm. We have telemedicine now, and it's becoming more and more normal for a doctor who can't physically be in a hospital or inside of a surgery to be able to come in virtually. So they're coming in on the head of a robot. What they're doing is sitting in their offices or their homes or wherever they are, they have a screen in front of them and a joystick, and at the other end, at the hospital or the surgery, they have this robot-looking device with a screen on the top for the head, and they're skirting around the hospital, they're interviewing and working with patients one-on-one, and literally doing it in the guise of a robot.
Amazing. So there's a bit like an R2-D2 sort of thing?
Yeah. But what they're able to do is take specialists who otherwise might not be able to go into a place. They're taking them out of Australia, for instance, and maybe sending them to Cambodia or to China or to somewhere else without them physically having to be there.
Right. Other uses in healthcare?
Well, tons of them in healthcare. We also have the other extreme of robots, which are called nanorobots. And they're very, very small. They're being injected into the human body. It was that great movie many years ago where they injected this little spaceship into the human body and managed to drive around. It's not quite like that, but it's not that far away. I mean, in other words, there aren't people inside this. But you're able to swallow a pill, for instance, and they can guide that through the body and take internal x-rays.
But in some ways we are inside it because we can see through.
Yeah, absolutely. So nanorobots, so another element of them, not always big things that we're dreaming about, but very, very small ones as well.
Just in the office or maybe in the factory, are they getting in there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked about healthcare a minute ago with telemedicine, and we're seeing a whole range of them come into offices and factories. So again, the same sort of thing. They actually work, some of them work off a very simple iPad or tablet. very inexpensive, around $250 or so, and then they go up. And again, the purpose of them is that you might not want to travel to another office or to another place, stay where you are. So if the other end has this device, they hook up a tablet to it, and again, you can drive it around the office, attend board meetings, and do all kinds of things through it. Now, the roads we're going to see over the next few years, driverless cars, and we've talked about this before. It's the car where you can go walk into, literally it will know where you want to go. You'll sit back and relax and be able to read newspaper or whatever you want, and the car will travel along the road quite happily and take you there.
Do you think we really would do that? Would we really relax?
Yeah, we absolutely do. It's about 3 or 4 minutes into the journey. It's quite interesting, because what we already do is go halfway. Many of us have a car that will accelerate for us. So we just put the cruise control on and we sit there and all we do is steer. Now that again is a step too far if you think about it. Only 10 years ago, we felt really uncomfortable doing that, but most people are used to it. And the research shows that after 3 or 4 minutes, strangely enough, again, we get quite comfortable with it.
So how far away are they then, the robotic cars?
They're really close. In fact, in America, we have 3 states that have already legislated they're legal. Google, strangely enough, has a car that they're trialing. It's up to about 700,000 to 800,000 hours of driving on roads in road conditions with no driver, people inside but no drivers, and that's doing really well. Mercedes, most of the car manufacturers have driverless cars as well, and we're hearing that by 2020 there will be the first versions of them available on the road.
Amazing. All right, so what about defense and security? Have they embraced robots as well?
Very much so, and in fact they were one of the early adopters of them. That horrible episode that we saw last week in Boston, when the police were about to capture the suspect, they actually sent a robot in first to the boat, and the robot was the thing that sent back the images and did a lot of the thermal imaging. And then when they had used that robot to assure themselves they were able to enter, they then sent people in. So we're seeing robots being used very much in that space. They're going into places we wouldn't want to send human beings. They're sniffing out robots. They're looking for terrorists or looking for people that shouldn't be there. They're also using smaller versions of robots to send them into crawl spaces where there are those unfortunate accidents, you know, where there's rubble or people can't physically crawl around, but there might be bodies lying in there. They're able to send them into those spaces, again, to look out, to use thermal imaging and other things. So robots in the defense space are really a very, very large part of what's happening.
Seems that things are moving very fast on the robot scene. Looking to the future, what can we expect to see? How will this develop? What will the robots be doing in the next few years?
Well, there are some really interesting robots around at the moment, too, that are going to take us through. Some strange ones, too, in places you wouldn't think. There is a robot, for instance, that makes noodles in restaurants.
Right.
And it's $2,500 coming out of China, and there are a couple of hundred of those already installed. There's a robot that makes hamburgers that works in the States, and that one's coming out as well. So there are all kinds of interesting bits and pieces. There's a robot or a robot dispensing machine that's been put into a retail store in America to sell jeans. And you walk into the store, you see one of the pair of jeans, and if you like it, you choose the style, the size, the color, tell the device what you want, and it delivers it to your change room within 30 seconds.
Great. What about the one that makes the hamburgers? How does that work?
Now, the hamburger, what these things do is most of them will use prepared things. So with the noodles as well, you put dough into the machine, and this robot, which is a hand, a pair of hands in this case, I'm sure you would have seen that dexterous, wonderful thing where they take the dough and they stretch it out and all of a sudden it just becomes strands and strands of noodles. That's what the robot's been trained to do.
So it's actually got hands?
It's got robotic hands. And it literally takes the dough and kneads it. It does that stretching thing where it just automatically becomes little strands of wonderful noodle. That's what that machine does. And the hamburger one, again, takes the pre-prepared meat, turns it into patties, and it sits by the side, so to speak, of the griller and monitors it, makes sure that it's cooked appropriately, turns it over, and then sends it down the trail when it's cooked.
Sounds great. That's getting pretty close to what I want. I'm looking for one that can sort of make the dinner, clean the bathroom, and take the bins out.
Yes. There's a comment there. I'm not going there. But absolutely. But you're right. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we're going to do. We will really get into the one or two item robots. I don't think we're going to see those big R2-D2s running around our house. But we will have more and more of them doing discrete things for us as we move down the next few years.
All right. A very entertaining look at and glimpse of the future with Maurice Pasowski. Maurice, just remind us how we can keep up to date with what's happening in the future.
Again, Again, it's businessfuturist.com, and if you want to keep up with what's happening on a daily basis, businessfuturist.me.
Maurice, thanks very much. We'll catch you again in the fortnight.
Look forward to it.
Thanks. Now, Maurice Maslowski from businessfuturist.com on ABC Wide Bay.